With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
It's Tuesday, 17th of March. I'm Andy Brassel, she's Jules Breach, and this is Jules and Andy on Football Ramble Daily.
So for me, there is only one way forward. You cancel the whole of this season for everything.
Remember, you can always get in touch with us at Jules Breach, at Andy Brassel, Jules and Andy at footballrambledaily.com. It's been a surreal week for football. It's been a surreal week for the world in general. So, Jules, we're going to get straight into it. What impact has the current situation had on you? What was your weekend?
Well, first of all, Andy, this is different, isn't it? We're normally sat in a room together recording, and we're so far away from each other now. But I'm just glad that we can still do this and that we can still have a little chat and hopefully entertain everyone who is able to still listen to this. So thank you if you are listening. It's been a strange weekend, hasn't it, Andy? I mean, a weekend without football. We talked about it during the winter break back in February, didn't we? And how strange that was to not have a full set of fixtures. But now to not have any football whatsoever has been so strange. And it's a very weird, uncertain time that we're living in right now. And the weekend for me was particularly hard because I've actually not been feeling too well either. So I have got a few flu symptoms, and I'm unaware whether I have coronavirus or not, but in the current time that we're in, I would assume that I do. So I've actually been self-isolating since Friday. I haven't actually left the house since Thursday night when I got in from work. On Friday morning, I was told that the show I was meant to be presenting on Friday at the Premier League wasn't going to go ahead, but I'd actually started to feel some very mild flu symptoms on Friday. So I decided on Friday I wasn't going to go into work anyway. So I've not left the house now for 5 days, and I'm definitely starting to feel a little bit trapped and a bit strange. And I'm in a two-bedroom flat in London with my other half, and because I've had symptoms, therefore it means he needs to also stay indoors. So
yeah,
we've both been trapped inside together for the last few days, and finding lots of random things to do around the house, and watching a lot of Netflix. That's basically what we've been doing with our time. But yeah, it has been strange. But I do just want to point out that it is so important that if you do have any cold and flu symptoms, to stay indoors. I know that that is the advice that everyone's been given now. And even though it's hard and it's strange, it's definitely the responsible, right thing to do, as difficult as it is.
It is the right thing to do. And it is difficult to do, as you say, because as we know, there's a lot of people that we know who work in football, who's not only work, but income streams have ground to a complete halt. People who are working freelance. So it's going to be a tough time for some of them. There's no doubt about it. I think the pace with which it all happened made it so surreal. I mean, you could say that about society in general, but, you know, I think if we bear in mind, we went into Friday and officially all the weekend's Premier League games were still on. Friday afternoon, the Bundesliga games were still officially on. And so this has been football sort of dealing with an unprecedented situation on the hoof, really. And there's no other way in which it could be done. For me, I found it really interesting that, of course, you'll be aware because you cover them on BT Sport, the fact that that the top couple of leagues in non-league football
here in England
were still happening. Exactly. And, you know, whether that was the right decision or not, well, I think we all know the answer to that, don't we? And I can understand that a lot of people in non-league are really unhappy about that, and quite rightly so. But we're at home, as we've been at home most of the time, me and my family. And me and my son were playing basketball in the back garden, and we live about probably 5 minutes walk from Dulwich Hamlet. And, you know, they're a very, very well supported Conference South team. They get crowds in excess of 2,000 a lot of the time. And it did seem that a lot of people had kind of got together there for what they felt might be a last hurrah, like their last chance to see any live sport for quite a long time. And it reminded me a little bit of living at when I lived in Newcastle, when I was in my first year at university there, and I lived about half a mile down the road from St. James's Park. And on a Saturday afternoon, you could hear the cheers as the goals went in. I mean, this was the Kevin Keegan team that nearly won the title in 95-96. And it kind of reminded me of that, because while we were out in the back garden, me and my son could hear these massive roars as the Dulwich goals went in as they came on late to beat Hemel. And yes, it's really strange, like equating Dulwich Hamlet to sort of prime Keegan Newcastle United, but that's what it felt like. And it did feel as if people were saying a bit of a see you later to football, almost.
Yeah, it all feels very surreal, doesn't it? Because football isn't just something that we do for a living; it's something that, as football fans, we live and breathe it and we love it. And everything we talk about is football. So it's like, what is there to talk about? What can you text your mates about? What can you, you know, like, I haven't had a fantasy football team to prepare for the weekend. All of those kind of things. It's all
on the plus side, you do have like quite a long time to coach me on fantasy football for next season, which you'd already committed to do. So
yeah, that is very true. You've got a long time to learn.
Yeah,
you've got all this time off.
You won't be getting out of that. All this captaining and double pointing is something I will be embracing wholeheartedly whenever football restarts. But look, the Ramble guys had a big chat yesterday about what should happen with the season going onwards. And I think they were very thoughtful about it, very eloquent about it. Obviously, Luke's thought particularly was that the season should be cancelled, and that should be that if there's not time to restart it. What were your thoughts on their views, Jules, and where do you stand on it? And I realise things are changing, it's still early days, and there are caveats to every opinion and all the rest of it, but I'm interested to know what you think.
It's a really tricky one, isn't it? Because as you say, this is such a fluid situation, and every time something new comes out, you might slightly change your mind on it. And obviously we know that UEFA are meeting today and they're going to make a decision on the Euros, and that will have a massive impact on how I think everyone views what should happen with the domestic leagues. I think based on what the boys were saying on Ramble yesterday, and as you say, Luke's thoughts on basically nulling and voiding this season as it is, I don't know. I think that it's a tricky one because I feel like for the integrity of the competition, it just doesn't quite feel right not to finish the league. But I also do understand that that isn't necessarily the most important thing right now because health has to come first. But prior to listening to the boys on the Ramble yesterday, my personal thoughts on it were that what sits right with me is that the league is postponed until it is safe for everyone to go back to living life as normal, and then 100%. We continue playing the league, and that the league then gets the rightful finish that it deserves. Liverpool can be crowned champions in front of their fans. The three teams that are in the relegation zone now, in my opinion, don't deserve to be relegated, because look at the past, look at the amazing great escapes we've had in previous seasons where, you know, at this stage of the season, teams have still survived even though they've been in the relegation zone. I think it would be unfair to relegate the teams that are there at the moment. So that for me isn't an option. It's not an option to just say, oh, Liverpool are so far ahead, let's give them the title and let's relegate the teams that are in the bottom three and promote whoever's in the promotion positions in the other leagues. I don't think that's right at all. So to me, that's not an option. I think the two possible options are Luke's option of nulling and voiding it, but for some reason it just doesn't really sit right with me. I personally feel that continuing the season when it's safe to do so, if the Euros is able to be postponed to 2021, that's what sits right with me. But I also do understand that there are knock-on effects to next season and qualifications for European tournament for next season, which obviously usually starts in July, doesn't it, Andy? So there's all these knock-on effects of that being a possibility. But that's what, as a football fan sitting here now trying to be neutral about it, that's what sits right with me. What do you think?
I think broadly similar. I think that whenever it is safe to resume football, we should just finish this season. I would think it was more damaging to write off the efforts of what teams have put in so far just to make room for a season that hasn't even started yet. You know, you don't miss what you've never had. And if next season has to get written off, well, I'm more fine with that than I am writing off a season that's 70% done. To be perfectly honest,
I hadn't actually thought of it like that, you know, Andy, but that actually makes complete sense.
You know, the fact is, life goes on despite sport. If we look at, you know, it's a different situation, but if you look at seasons in American sport where they had the NBA lockout, where they couldn't agree a collective bargaining agreement between the players and the leagues, if you go back 10 years or so, and you know, you had a season that pretty much didn't happen, or a season that's vastly truncated as happened in that case. You know, I would rather this season was finished off at whatever point that is, whether it's July, September, December, whenever it is, and then next season is shortened. So whether that means that you only play one round of fixtures than a home and away, whatever. Whether next season becomes, I don't know, some sort of Champions League style cup competition, whatever happens, I don't think what happens with next season is important now. Well, none of it's really important in the overall world scheme of things, but in terms of when we do get back to football, and it will be hugely important because it's an escape and a joy for so many. I think to honour the integrity of that as best we can in this impossible situation, this season has to be finished. And whether that's in July, September, December, doesn't matter to me. It just needs to finish, in my opinion.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I know that there are lots of talks about players' contracts ending in June, potentially, and how that will affect it. I think ultimately, when it comes down to it, there are going to have to be so many different measures that are going to have
to be people have to show flexibility, right?
Exactly. And people are going to have to be flexible. This is a completely one-off, hopefully, situation that we're living in. And hopefully this will never happen again. But it's something that we're all learning as we go through. And it's something that I think that as human beings, we do have to be mindful of, that it's difficult to know the right and wrong. So if someone has an opinion on something and they suggest something, try not to be too disrespectful and kind of shoot them down for it, because we're all kind of learning as we go through this situation. It's all very uncertain, and it's good to talk about it and good to still have these conversations.
Absolutely. And that's a really good point, I think, about understanding the difficulties that everyone's having in dealing with this situation. I mean, I've seen a lot of criticism of presidents, board members who are trying to sort this out at the moment. And obviously, Karen Brady's had a lot of stick, for example, about talking about wiping the season, with people doubting their motives. The same with Jean-Michel Aulas, the president of Lyon in France. And much as I think football leaders have a responsibility to temper their language and to be careful about what they're saying and think about the implications of what they're saying, I think in our situation as well, we have to look at the fact that these people are trying to negotiate their way out of an impossible situation, an unprecedented situation, and a situation where we don't know where it's going to end, where stuff's changing all the time. I mean, I wrote in my Guardian column, my Guardian Bundesliga column yesterday, about Freddy Bobic, the sporting director of Eintracht Frankfurt. And it was a really great quote from him where he said, "A decision that you make with full and firm conviction in the morning can be useless by the afternoon." And I think that's a very, very good way of describing it. And, you know, whatever we think of leaders in football and their motivations and their priorities, what they are responsible for is finding a situation that when we get football back, and like I said, I think we'll need it and cherish it more than ever, that we've actually got something to get back. And I think certainly in terms of the Premier League clubs, and I think all elite clubs across Europe, they're in a good position to use the money that they have wisely to benefit football as a whole and to mitigate the impact on themselves as well. And I think especially in England, it's a really, really important thing, because there are clubs in League One and lower who are really going to suffer through this and really going to be in danger. And, you know, when we've seen before a club like Bury, for example, reach the situation that they have, which is something we've spoken about Jules and Andy earlier this season, that felt beyond the pale. That felt unprecedented. I think there's going to be a lot of these situations we have to deal with. And I think top level football especially has to make some sort of provision for these clubs, because England is unique in a way, in the sense that, you know, when you travel over the world and, you know, you think that the Premier League is the thing that gets people abroad the most, and to an extent it is, but what I find that people abroad are always taken aback by, they're like, okay, so you have fourth and fifth and sixth division football live on television. Why is that? Why do people turn up and watch it? And do you know what? You can only really explain it if you're here. The fact that these clubs really are community hubs and people care about them. Now, I think the sad fact of it is that if a club in even the second or third tier of Portugal goes bust off the back of this, Well, some people will be sad, and obviously it will affect the employees of the club, but a lot of people in the wider world won't care. If you took, I don't know, 3-4 clubs out of, or even more, out of League One, League Two, and they simply disappeared, that is huge for the landscape of English football.
Yeah, and these clubs are loved and adored by their fans just as much as any of the bigger clubs in the world. It doesn't matter that they have less fans. Those fans still care just as much about that club as you do if you're a fan of a Premier League team or a team in the Bundesliga or a team in La Liga. It doesn't matter. A football club is a football club, and there are fans that have followed that club their entire life and through generations of their families as well. And I think this is the real sad reality of what we're going through right now, is that it will seriously financially affect a lot of these lower league clubs. And I think that that's possibly, Andy, one of the reasons why the National League did carry on last weekend, because they know just how hard hit they're going to be by even one weekend of not having that game on. And they probably could foresee that this was going to happen for a longer period of time. And they thought, let's try and make the gate money while we can. There are also all the other financial implications from these lower league clubs that if you don't follow a lower league team, you may not have even thought about. I remember when I used to live down in Brighton, and I used to go and watch Lewis quite a lot, that their clubhouse would be hired out most weekends for parties and celebrations. Mm. And that's, again, that's another way that they can earn money at the club, is by hiring it out for birthdays, anniversaries, other different parties, little get-togethers. That's all money for the club. And now with this kind of new imposed legislation that we can't have any social gatherings and that we need to socially distance ourselves, which is the right thing to do, that means all of these football clubs are also going to be losing out financially on that side of the business. It's not just about the football fans coming and watching their team play every weekend. It's all of the other stuff and all the other ways that the clubs can actually generate money as well. And they are going to be seriously hard hit by this. And that's really hard to even think about how they're going to cope.
Yeah, these clubs and the people who work in them, who I think you're absolutely right in underlining, Jules, they're very, very versatile. They are linchpins for the community. As you say, it's not just the football, it's all the other stuff. I mean, I think if you look at Sutton United, for example, with their artificial pitch, they have become open 7 nights a week, pretty much, for community groups and young players and all others to get involved. And that has been a money spinner for the club. I mean, you know, they had to ask themselves at one point when they were close to being promoted to the Football League, do we want to be promoted if we have to get rid of the artificial surface? So I think that shows, you know, exactly how much of a hub these clubs can be. And the people who work at these clubs work incredibly hard. They have to multitask. And I know the feeling in the wider world can be football's entertainment. Everyone who works in it is loaded. They'll be all right. That's true for the elite. But I think if you look at below that elite level, outside the Premier League and possibly outside the Championship, it can be incredibly tough. And I think there has to be that support, because it's something that elevates English football above a lot of its competitors. I think it's as much a selling point for England as the Premier League. I think people love to come over and experience games, not just in the Premier League, but at all different levels. And, you know, it's something that does England a huge amount of credit. I think it's really, really important. And I think because there's such a relationship between all levels of English football, it would be really nice to see the Premier League do something. Now, I know they do something in terms of solidarity payments already, but these are extraordinary times, and I think people have to think outside the box a little bit. And I think especially in terms of watching live football, it's important, because we have to bear in mind that a lot of people, especially people with kids, can't afford to take their kids to Premier League football anymore. But what they can do is take their kids to see their local club. So what happens if that local club doesn't exist. It changes the experience of viewing football, because I know from seeing my kids and their friends, and I know what a hub like Dulwich Hamlet, as we were talking about at the top, is for example, how important it is to them. You know, their perception of watching football on television and watching football in the flesh, it's totally different. And of course it is a totally different experience. And for that experience to be compromised for future generations and current generations would be really sad.
Yeah, I agree. And on Friday, when it was announced that the weekend's fixtures in the Premier League were going to be postponed until at least April the 4th, which is now looking an unrealistic restart time, it was obviously done at such short notice, and there were a lot of Premier League clubs who on social media announced that they were going to be donating their hospitality and their match day food and packed lunches to the homeless, which is obviously a really positive thing. I know Aston Villa were one of the teams to do it. Brighton were another club to do it. And Brighton have obviously also committed, I don't know if you saw this, but they've committed to paying all their match day staff until the end of the season, which is an amazing thing for them to do. But like you say, they're a Premier League club, Andy, so they can afford to do that. Whereas when you look lower down in the leagues, there's no way that some of the lower league clubs are going to be able to afford to still pay their match day staff. So then we start thinking about people's livelihoods and the fact that there are going to be so many people that are out of pocket, even just in my immediate people who I work with. Obviously working in telly, there are a lot of freelancers, and even on just on BT Sports Score alone, there's around 100 of us that work on that one show on a Saturday, when you take into account all of the different operators, all of the crew, all of the people that sit in the gallery, and the majority of them are all freelancers. And now everyone's going to be losing out on money at some stage during this. And it's a really difficult time for everyone. And when you think about the financial side of it for football clubs, these lower league teams aren't going to be able to afford to pay their staff. And I was watching Football Focus on Saturday, and the Tranmere Rovers chairman and owner, Mark Palios, was on, and he was asked the question on Football Focus, you know, Tranmere are in League One, how hard hit are they going to be by this postponement of football? And you know what? It actually made me really sad with what Mark Palios said. He said, you know, we'll be okay because we've got a savings pot that we put some money in to help fix the pitch. We've had a few problems with the pitch, and we had a pot of money to be able to sort the pitch out. But now we're just going to have to use that money instead to, you know, help keep the club alive. And you just think, gosh, this is just awful. The reality of it is that people are going to have to sacrifice other things just to keep their football club alive now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
You're listening to Jules and Andy on Football Ramble Daily. We're going to get to your correspondence very shortly. And I know there'll be a lot of people who are self-isolating right now. So keep yourselves entertained. We are going to be here and all of Football Ramble Daily are going to be releasing episodes every single day as normal. So this is the time for you guys to help us out with some things to talk about. So we need you more than ever. Do get in touch with us at Jules Breach on Twitter, at Andy Brassel. And of course, you can email us, julesandandy@footballrambledaily.com. We'll get to some of your emails and tweets very shortly. Also, we do want to kind of cheer things up a bit, don't we, Andy? So we're going to reflect back on what has been an amazing season so far and talk about some of our favourite moments of the season. So what's yours, Andy?
Well, you know what, Jules, because we were talking about getting out there in the open air and actually enjoying football in the flesh, for me, it's got to be one that I did for our At The Match series on Football Ramble Daily. And that was the Berlin Derby back in November between Union and Hertha. It was absolutely fantastic. Union won it right near the end with a former QPR player scoring the winner. Can you believe that? There you go, there's your link. And the atmosphere was absolutely sensational. I mean, the first arise are really... peculiar, unusual stadium that was rebuilt by their own fans, of course, when the club were running out of money. Quite germane for the times, I suppose. And they're facing Hertha, a far more money club that have had a lot of investment this season. But in terms of just the noise, the pyrotechnics, which ended up...
Were there flares at that game as well, Andy?
Oh, yeah.
Do I remember that rightly?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And yeah. At the end, there was...
And I don't mean the trouser-type flares.
No. No, we're going to save the retro stuff for a couple of weeks' time when we're really short on material.
Yeah.
But, there was this extraordinary scene at the end where the Union players were celebrating in front of their fans, in front of their home crew of her. And some of the Hertha fans were firing fireworks at them, and so some rather unhappy Union fans who were not at all sinisterly wearing balaclavas started climbing over the fence to maybe return their opinions, and Rafa Gikovic, the goalkeeper for Union, just stood in front of all these masked men and said, no, you're not doing that, and made them get back in the stand.
What an absolute geezer.
Extraordinary. It was absolutely extraordinary. But yeah, the footage of that is online. The match itself was more about the pyrotechnics and the atmosphere than the actual football. But yeah, you can listen back to it on At The Match as well. It's back in the second week of November, and it was just a brilliant occasion. What about you?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that right now, while a lot of people are at home, a lot of people are going to be watching back those classic matches or their best games of the season. And the one that I'm going to pick out, my moment of the season, was Brighton beating Tottenham 3-0 at the Amex. It was a lunchtime game. I've already watched it three times, but I'm still not bored of it. So I think that's got to be one of my highlights. It was such a good game. And you were actually in the studio with us that day, weren't you, Andy, at BT Sport?
I was
screaming.
I had the joy of sitting next to Harry Redknapp and watching it.
Yeah.
It's quite an experience. He wasn't that happy, as you can imagine. But at the time, I remember thinking, has she missed a bit? Because people might not be aware, but you're deep in preparation for the show at that point. So you're kind of between
I'm in and out of the green room where you guys are all watching it.
Exactly. So I think even in a normal situation, you could be forgiven for watching it three times. I'm going to say you're going to get to 7 viewings by the end of the week.
Yeah, I mean, I've already watched back the goals just before we did this because we were talking about our favourite moments of the season. I was like, yeah, it's got to be that. Let me remind myself of those 3 goals. And it was just brilliant, especially because we scored so early on. And I know it was a poor goalkeeping error from Hugo Lloris, and he subsequently got injured after that, didn't he? And spent a bit of time out. But starting the game off like that with an early goal. And then it was the game was all about Aaron Connolly, wasn't it? It was his first Premier League start. He got his first 2 Premier League goals. Just a young player for the future for Brighton. And it was just amazing to see him kind of burst onto the scene like that. And everyone now knows his name, and it's because of that match. But it was also a very interesting time for Tottenham, wasn't it? Because this was obviously Maurizio Pochettino was still in charge. It was just off the back of their 7-2 drubbing by Bayern Munich in the Champions League, a game which I was at that week as well. And I remember after that defeat in the Champions League, I thought to myself, I can't wait to play them this weekend now. This is the perfect time to play Tottenham because their heads have dropped and they are so low on confidence and we could get something out of this game. But I still never thought it was going to be a 3-0. And what I loved so much about that match is that was, I think, the day that everyone started to go, okay, yeah, Tottenham are in a bad way at the moment, but that was actually a brilliant performance by Brighton. And we can now see why they've chosen Graham Potter. Everyone could start to see what he was trying to do. And obviously I know that things haven't been smooth sailing since then, but that was kind of the day that it all clicked for Brighton. So those are very good memories from earlier on in the season.
That's an excellent choice, I have to say.
Thank you.
Actually, it goes into one of our emails, and good friend of the Football Ramble Daily, and in fact, guest on the continent, Ryan Hunt, has sent us one in. Honest question, how are you both holding up? Oh, that's nice.
Hi, Ryan.
How many classic games have you already watched? Well, Ryan, you know what? I haven't had time so far, which I guess in my situation is probably quite a good thing. I am looking forward to, though, sitting down and maybe watching the potted highlights of Wimbledon beating West Ham in the FA Cup, which was about 14, 15 months ago. I haven't watched it for a while, but Ryan's tweet has made me think, yeah, I'm going to sit down and watch that.
Do you know what I YouTubed the other day?
Go on.
Glenn Murray's best goals. No
really?
Reason why. Just thought I'd see some Glenn Murray goals. So there I was, sat there. I watched about 20 minutes worth of Glenn Murray's goals on YouTube. There are a lot of reruns of some of the same ones, but
sure.
that entertained me for quite a bit.
What's the soundtrack? Is it like Belgian techno or something?
Yeah, you know what it's like on those football videos. It's always something a bit naff, something that you feel like you could have made yourself.
they never quite get it right, do they? Because it's either Belgian techno or a ballad. I mean, I would have thought for Glenn Murray, what would have been perfect is one of Jurgen Locadia's past hits.
That could have been good. They didn't use one of his tracks, though. They weren't that forward thinking, Andy.
Different kind of assist.
Yeah, the other thing that I watched was what a lot of people I'm sure probably saw on Twitter is the marble racing video. Did you watch that, Andy?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
It was brilliant. I watched it right to the end, and me and my other half were taking bets on which marble we thought would win, which is just a bit of a sad life, isn't it? That's what it's come to.
Although a lot of people getting in touch along those sort of lines, Nathan Gisby has written, what's your recommendations for Netflix during this quarantine?
Oh, okay. So I watched an amazing film the other day. It's called A Quiet Place. Have you seen that, Andy?
No.
Oh, very good. I highly recommend it. It's kind of a like thriller horror. Weirdly, it's actually about the end of the world. So it's kind of apt for right now, but hopefully won't read into it too much. But it's about a family that have to try and survive by not making any noise whatsoever. And it is amazing. It's brilliantly made. It's fascinating. There's barely any dialogue in the film, which you would think would be really bad, but it's actually amazing and the acting's brilliant. And yeah, highly recommend that. And also, if you want a bit of a laugh, I watched a stand-up last night, Mo Gilligan, and it was brilliant as well. So those are the two most recent things I've watched on Netflix.
Yeah, I don't know if people are asking more football-y recommendations.
Sorry, there's me just reeling off my list of recommendations. I haven't watched any kind of footballing things on Netflix. I do want to get into one of the other documentaries. I still haven't finished the Leeds one, you know. So I might finish that off.
We were talking about that earlier in the season, weren't we?
Yeah, I've watched about half of it, but I never actually got to the end. So I might put that on my list of things to watch. But we've got loads of time, so there's no rush, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's a Reddit thread somewhere of the top 50 football documentaries and of links to them as well. I'll try and dig that out and put it on Twitter. It's a really, really good idea. What are the things I've watched recently? I watched something on Karim Benzema. I can't really remember whether that was Amazon Prime or Netflix, but it was quite interesting because people have a particular idea of Benzema. Clearly, he had a role in the production of it and it was intended to make him look nice. But it was very interesting, nevertheless, because there's quite a lot to him. I mean, he's come from a tough old background and he's found that quite hard to leave behind, which I think if you know a little bit about the stuff off the pitch that he's had to deal with and that he's been involved in, that's perhaps apparent, but it's very, very interesting to find out anyway. I think if you're going back on YouTube, you have to look at Orient, Yours for a Fiver. That is absolutely fantastic. As Leighton Orient really stumble trip through the second part of a tier two campaign, and some of John Sitton's speeches that I know a lot of Ramble listeners will be aware of already. The manager of Leighton Orient at the time, they are the absolute stuff of legend. I remember when. When Wimbledon played their first season in the top flight in 1986-87, grandstand followed them around and there were lots of Dave Bassett team talks. So if sweary team talks are your thing, I can definitely recommend the Orient one and the Wimbledon one. They're absolutely,
we love that.
They're absolutely fantastic. But
do you know what? Speaking of Leighton Orient, I also had an Instagram message from Christian Lingley, who said he can't wait for this week's Jules and Andy. And he said, a couple of things I'd like you to talk about. New hobbies to try whilst in isolation.
Yes.
And also the Leighton Orient FIFA event. Now, I actually didn't know about this FIFA event. So Andy, you tell us about it because we were talking about it earlier.
Yeah, well, but basically, I think it's inspired by what happened at the weekend. I mean, I don't know who got the idea first. Someone was going to come up with it because loads of footballers and football fans are prolific FIFA players on their gaming platforms of choice. But it was meant to be on Sunday, the biggest derby in Spain, the derby of Seville between Sevilla and Betis, which obviously didn't happen. So Sergio Reguilón, who's on loan from Real Madrid to Sevilla at the moment, said, okay, why don't we have a game of FIFA for the derby? And it was him and Borja Iglesias, who plays for Betis, playing each other. And they had like 60,000 people watching it on Twitch.
Incredible.
Which was
incredible.
Even more than you would have had in the stadium. And people will know who listen to On the Continent and that is my favorite game in world football. I absolutely love it. I've not watched it back on Twitch yet, so it will be interesting. But Borja Iglesias engineered it for himself to score the winning goal for Betis, which was pretty good. And things have expanded from there. Orient organizing a whole, I think, like 32 or 64 team tournament with loads of different clubs from all over the world. So it's not just a pan-European thing, but a pan-global thing as well. I know a couple of French clubs have got involved and a couple of clubs from the United States as well. So something that's worth keeping an eye on. And they can nominate player or fan or whatever to represent them. Also, we know that AS Roma are very active on the socials as well. And they've got a load of games set up sort of against like European rivals. So they're playing, I think, Wolfsburg, Sporting, all sorts of different teams this week because they have a special esports gaming team. Are you much of a gamer, Jules, or no?
Do you know what? I'm not actually, but my brother and his wife are massive gamers, and my brother's wife actually works in the gaming industry, and she said that obviously this is one of the positives of the situation we're in right now, is the gaming industry are really thriving from this and they can really help people out. There can be some real positivity out of this situation, that they can kind of get communities together in a weird kind of way through esports, can't they?
Yeah, absolutely they can. And it's a terrific thing, especially if your eight-year-old's just received FIFA 20. Well, really, it's for me.
He's going to be keeping himself busy.
Yeah, it's for me, to be perfectly honest, because we had a bit of a go of it at the weekend. Liverpool 0, Lyon 3. Just saying.
So, do you know what? Speaking of games as well, Andy, is there are a lot of people, football fans, a lot of FPL fans are a bit lost without Fantasy Premier League, and loads of them have been, loads of you guys have been messaging and asking questions about how FPL is going to be affected by it. Karan Hindo messaged and asked to explain the FPL rules to everyone once again about the games that were postponed and how the point system is going to work. The actual answer to that, Karan, is I'm not entirely sure. From the message that official FPL put out on Twitter last week is the only guideline that I'm aware of, which is that leading into game week 30, if you had made any transfers, they would still be counted. So if you took a points hit, unfortunately, your points tally for game week 30 will have been -4 if you took a 4-point hit. If you played your wild card, you won't get it back. That wild card team will remain as is. And when the football resumes, fingers crossed, that's the team that you'll get back. So I hope that clears it up. Basically, any transfers that you did make leading into game week 30 did still count. And obviously, we're all hoping that as soon as it's healthy and safe for everyone to resume playing football and for fans to be back in the stadiums, that everything will return to normal. And at that stage, we'll be able to know what will happen with all of our FPL teams. But it is all a little bit crazy. And I feel a bit lost without FPL as well, Andy. It's one of the things that I spend the majority of my time doing, is tinkering with my fantasy team.
Well, you know what I'm looking forward to, and everyone should beware, because I'm going to come back and kick your asses, because I'm going to have some expert coaching during the hiatus. I'm looking forward to the fact that you're going to coach me and I'm going to end up being better than you. That's what I'm looking forward to.
The worrying thing is I don't really want to help you, Andy, because the chances are you will be better than me.
No, I won't be great at it, I don't think. We've got so much correspondence here, and some of them I think are big picture questions that we're going to have a think about and come back to, like Chris Barber's one. Which club manager would you want to start your careers with, and the same format for end your careers with? And my pal Dan Ogunshakin has come in with, if you could map out your dream career, which 7 clubs do you pick, and what factors would determine those moves? Dan does a great podcast, actually, Inside the Beautiful Game, which is worth checking out. We will come back to those, because they are big ones. Let's be fair, they're absolutely big ones. I just wanted to pick, because you've been on the emails as well. So I wanted to just have one email before we got to the end. I think we kind of touched on it before, but Tom Lovegrove has been in touch, saying, hi guys, thought now would be a good time to send a first email, what with the lack of any actual football to really dissect. With all the uncertainty over the remainder of the football season as well as the Euros, is there any thought given to players with expiring contracts? I'm a Chelsea fan, and we have a number of players whose deals expire in the summer. With players like Giroud and Pedro starting to break back into the side, it seems that any chance they had to extend their deals will now be lost in the wake of these postponed games. Is this something that clubs will consider, or is it far too early at this point to be thinking of the summer market? Cheers, love the show, Tom. Well, thanks, Tom. That is interesting to see how it will pan out, because it's something that's been discussed from a legal perspective in Portugal already. And in the Portuguese league rules, for example, there is precedent for, in an extraordinary event like this, if a contract expires, for it to just be carried on the current terms until such point as the competition reaches a conclusion. So clearly there'll have to be creative workarounds in 100 different situations that we could be discussing, but I think that's probably one of them.
I'm assuming as well, Andy, that that's probably the most sensible thing and probably the easiest thing, because with all these contracts, they end in June because that's when the domestic football season ends. So
yeah, 30th of June.
Yeah, so contracts go in line with when the football season ends. So I assume that in these extreme circumstances that contracts will just be extended for the time period until the season ends. That is a pure guess, though. I have absolutely no background knowledge to whether that is going to be the case. However, that's what I can assume, just based on a bit of common sense. I think it just makes sense for that to be the case, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that probably is the case. But as with everything else, we shall see. Look, this has been awesome. I'm really glad you're on the men's, Jules, at last.
Thanks, Andy.
And, it's been really great to catch up while we're all boxed away in our little retreats here. And look, really great to hear from so many of you. Look, honestly, it means more than ever that you've been in touch on Twitter, Instagram, and the emails, as always. We will be trying our best to get to as many of these messages as possible over the coming shows. We will be back here every Tuesday on Football Ramble Daily. Remember, you can get in touch with us at Jules Breach, at Andy Brassel, Jules and Andy at footballrambledaily.com, and the emails. So we will see you next week. See you next week, Jules.
See you next week, Andy. Look after yourself, and thanks everyone for listening and getting in touch. We'll see you next time.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.